On certain Fridays, we talk to our own Sam Evans Brown. He is the host of NHPR's podcast, Outside In. He's here to answer a listener question about the natural world. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Rick.
Why do geese make V's?
Does a bumblebee sneeze?
Can a person eat trees?
Can a polar bear freeze?
Is a kidney stone kind of like a pearl in a clam?
Well, I don't know. Ask Sam.
This week's question comes to us from Lori, who actually lives in California, but called in all the way from Germany.
In all of the five big extinction events, how did plants fare versus animals? I can't figure it out. I would love to know, are trees going to take over after we're gone? Are trees with flowers going to still be around?
The slow march of the trees.
Perhaps not unusual that this particular listener is thinking about the end of humanity at this moment in history.
Boy, that's a lot to cover in 4 or 5 minutes, though, isn't it?
It is. But just a bit of background for the less catastrophically minded listeners. Paleontologists say that there have been 5 big mass extinction events, 5 moments in the history of the planet where geological records from the bottoms of ancient oceans show a huge drop in the diversity of life. And recently, the idea that we are perhaps entering a 6th great extinction has entered into the popular psyche because of a Pulitzer Prize winning book called The Sixth Extinction, written by Elizabeth Colbert. So, with me?
I'm with you so far.
Okay. So I talked to 2 people for this question. Both felt pretty solid in saying...
Yeah, so the sedimentary record is imperfect, but in general, plants did fare better during these mass extinction events.
Seems like plants have an easier time making it through mass extinctions than animals do.
So that's Emmy Smith, a geologist with Johns Hopkins University, and Peter Brannan, who is a science journalist and author of The Ends of the World, which talk about these big 5 extinctions.
All right, Sam, well, that begs the question, why?
Indeed. So the easiest explanation for why plants do better is because occasionally plants have been the cause of mass extinctions. The first of the big 5, which was about 450 million years ago, was thought to be caused by a big uptick in the growth of plant life, which consumed all of the oxygen in the oceans. And since at that time all of life was in the ocean, it caused a big die-off of animals. But also, Smith says that when you look at the quote-unquote kill mechanisms that were associated with a lot of these events, a disturbing quantity of them, given our current situation, relate to levels of atmospheric CO2 and global temperature, which animals maybe aren't as well equipped to handle.
I mean, a rise in CO2 is to me the easiest way to wipe out a lot of animals, particularly marine animals, and that wouldn't have a big effect on plant communities.
And of course, plants, Sam, use carbon dioxide and make oxygen out of that.
Indeed. And we should add a little caveat here, because she said it wouldn't have a quote-unquote big effect on plants. And we're talking relatively speaking here, because this is someone who studies die-offs in which, you know, 96% of species on the planet cease to exist. So when she says big effect...
Understatement, yeah.
She might just mean that, say, like, oh, you know, only 20% of plant species die compared to something much more impressive.
So comforting, Sam.
But I will say, if we're going to take a modicum of comfort from this train of thought, the fact that there have been these smaller die-offs that, you know, are measurable in the fossil record and didn't result in huge cascading worldwide collapses like the Big 5 gets us to this last point, which is that when you compare what's happening now to the Big 5, it is very clear that we are nowhere near the scale of one of those events.
In historical times, humans have driven, you know, close to 0% of species in the ocean extinct. And in the worst mass extinction of all time, it's 96% of species extinct. And I think there's a risk to get fatalistic, to think, oh, it's too late to do anything. And actually, this is our last chance to avoid that.
So perhaps a grim subject for Ask Sam, but as a congenitally optimistic person, I'm actually like kind of encouraged by the idea that, you know, our fate is still in our hands.
NHPR's Outside In host, Sam Evans Brown with Ask Sam. Sam, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
If a listener would like to get their question on the air, whether it's via Germany, California, wherever they may be, Sam, how can they do it?
The number is 1-844-GO-OTTER. If you'd like to submit a voice memo, the email address is outsidein@nhpr.org. So just record yourself on your smartphone and email it there.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR.